This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
4 minutes after the hour, it's Tuesday, August 31st. Good morning and welcome back to another hour of Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Great to be with you. Thanks so much for joining us coast to coast here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app on this last day of August, the month traditionally dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We continue to pray this morning for all the people of Louisiana who are still suffering from the devastation of Hurricane Ida, which is now a tropical storm. It's going to take days and days to learn exactly the extent of the damage. Ida knocked out power to close to a million people in Louisiana, including all of the city of New Orleans. It'll take weeks before the power is fully restored. There's also tremendous damage to homes and businesses in that area. Again, we continue to pray for all those people who have been affected and continue to be affected by this tropical storm, Ida. I want to bring in Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what's the latest with the rescue and recovery efforts?
I tell you, the damage continues to pile up in the south from Ida. Two were killed, 10 others injured, part of a Mississippi highway as the storm moves to the north and off to the east as well. This highway collapsed in Mississippi overnight from the floodwaters. A portion of Highway 26 in Loosedale, according to the Highway Patrol, two lanes of the roadway collapsed into a large sinkhole. Seven cars and trucks were involved. Three of those who hurt suffered some serious injuries. Again, two were killed, 10 others injured. Motorists urged a great caution in that area. New Orleans advising folks who have evacuated not to come home till further notice. As we both mentioned here, up to 500,000 people are still in the dark, with over 1 million without power over the weekend there. But it could be several weeks till power is restored, as efforts to even assess the damage are still going on. Tulane University evacuating all students remaining on its Uptown campus, sending them over to Houston by bus. They'll be able to fly home from there. And even the owner of the New Orleans Saints supporting victims of Ida, the team announced, owner Gail Benson, that they'd contribute $1 million to the effort, and FEMA has taken them up on that as well. But boy, you know, it's a dire situation when people are not allowed yet to go back home, and power being knocked out again by that huge power line tower toppling into the Mississippi, taking the eight principal power lines into New Orleans down with it.
Wow. Well, we continue to put in the Lord's hands. We continue to pray for all those people who are going through such a difficult time down there in that entire southern part of the United States, especially in the state of Louisiana. Glenn, the other big story that we've been keeping an eye on is the longest war in U.S. history is finally over, with the last U.S. troops leaving Afghanistan yesterday, just in time to meet today's deadline with the Biden administration and what they agreed to with the Taliban. But the question is, not everybody got out. How are the under 250 Americans that are still there, how are they going to get out?
The plan is, John, for other countries to help out. There, among them, at least 24 students from Sacramento with the Taliban in control are trapped in the country for now. They're from the San Juan Unified School District. They have not returned to campus since fall semester began. The 24 students confirmed to be stuck in Afghanistan. Initially, the estimate was 150. Sacramento, by the way, home to more than 10% of Afghan natives living in the U.S., but other countries will be working to get folks out. And Pope Francis, of course, on Sunday urged Christians to intensify their prayer, penance, and fasting for that situation in Afghanistan.
It's too bad, Glenn. It just didn't have to be this way, in the opinion of many, many experts, as far as how our country has handled that whole situation in Afghanistan. Pope Francis is urging Catholics to pray and fast for Afghanistan. So again, we have to rely on the power of prayer.
Yes, we do, and that's not nothing, but that's our principal tool at the moment here on this side, and, you know, things behind the scenes still going on in Afghanistan, but definite prayers, as we've all seen the pictures and can only imagine the horror of trying to escape.
Thanks so much, Glenn, as always. And speaking of prayer, we start out every show, every hour in prayer, invoking the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of life and of relevant radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, in this year of St. Joseph, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of relevant radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Coming up in a few moments, we'll be joined by international Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com. She'll be with us to continue our weekly Remember You Are Loved series, and we're going to discuss love in times of disagreement today. A little bit later in the show, Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky will tell us about his outstanding book, Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By, with some practical advice on protecting your marriage since before you start dating. Also bring you another episode of Glenn's Story Corner. All that this hour here on Morning Air. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Matthew 5:16. Jesus the Lord says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Every day here on Morning Air, we bring the light of Christ to start your day. We as Catholics need to shine the light of Christ. Wherever we go, we need to be a light in this world. We must walk in the light as our Lord Jesus Christ is the true light of the world. Let your light shine before all, and we pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. And now let's talk about love.
When I say goodbye, it is never for long, 'cause I know our love still lives on. It'll be again exactly like it was, 'cause I believe in the power of love.
Potato, potato, tomato, tomato. Human beings will always see and say things differently on small matters of little consequence and on bigger things of greater consequence. So what are we to do? Call the whole thing off or learn how to truly love in times of disagreement? We continue our weekly series, Remember You Are Loved, as we're now joined by international bilingual evangelist Martha Fernandez Sardina to talk about love as we are continuing with the second part of our discussion from last week, love in times of disagreement. Martha is an international bilingual speaker, teacher, trainer, writer, consultant, outreach developer, and the former director for evangelization for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C. and San Antonio. She's also the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com and a host of Remember You Are Love TV series. Martha, welcome back to Morning Air. It's always good to be with you for yet another episode.
Thank you, John. Always good to be with you as well. And today we have a friend listening from New Zealand. So hello, Sony.
Oh, my goodness. Greetings to New Zealand. Outstanding. We know Relevant Radio obviously is being heard from Maui to Maine, coast to coast. But we're touching people in many other parts of the world through the beauty of our app and through the internet. So welcome. Good morning to those of you down in New Zealand. Martha, last week we talked about a lot of things with regard to how we can deal with love in times of disagreement. Can you give us a little bit of a recap from what we talked about last week?
Yeah, just a few points on just for those who haven't listened to episode 8. First thing I mentioned last week, and it's always good to remind ourselves of, only God Almighty is perfect, and only God Almighty, therefore, can love perfectly. The rest of us, we're imperfect, but we want to be as Christ-like as possible. But even Christ, we touched on this a little bit, even in his human nature, we see how he showed us that we don't always understand all things. We don't always accept immediately all things. For example, in the agony in the garden, he was wanting to have that cup pass him. You know, Father, if this cup can pass me, but let your will be done. And we see how Mary and Joseph weren't exactly clued in on to why Jesus stayed behind. And she says, Mary says to Jesus, "Why did you do this to us?" And he responds, "Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" And the answer was, I guess, no, I didn't. We see St. Paul numerous times when he talks about doing the things that he wishes he did not do. And he says to one community, "Who has bewitched you? Who has lured you? Who has confused you?" So we see even in Scripture, let alone John, in our own personal lives, how different we see things, how difficult sometimes it is for us to understand where someone else is coming from. And sometimes, at least for a time, for a season, we might even part ways because of a parting of minds. And we see that also in St. Paul when he and Barnabas go separate ways. We see it with Abraham and Lot when they go separate ways. But the idea is not that we call the whole thing off. The idea is that we love more intensely the more difficult it is. And right now, John, we're living in a very difficult time.
Absolutely. So the question is, Martha, how can we love rightly and respectfully in these times of disagreement and discord, in times of confrontation and crisis?
Well, one little reminder that is a huge thing. We need to remind ourselves that just like that song, potato, potato, neither, neither, either, either, we see sometimes the very exact same thing. We see it exactly differently. We hear it completely differently. And just like we say, some people say Missouri, some say Missouri. Well, it depends on your upbringing. It depends on where you're from, what part of the country, what part of the world, what your upbringing is like, what your mindset is, what your all kinds of different things.
Is it wash or wash the clothes?
Exactly. Exactly. Isn't it interesting? And this is why I love human beings. I love cultures. Whenever I meet someone, if they have a slight accent, I announce to them so they don't feel offended. I tell them, I love people and I love cultures. So I want to try to guess where you're from. And this happened to me recently with somebody, and he's from South Africa. So taking interest in the views and the viewpoints of another is a first step to understanding how to love in times of disagreement. I don't know if you remember that whole thing that came up a few years ago about this dress that some people saw as gold and white, while other people, like half the population, saw it as stripes of gold and white, and the other half of the population saw it as black and blue. Well, it's a visual perception issue. Or I don't know if you remember in 2018 when we had this whole thing about people listening to a small audio clip, just a few seconds, and about 53% of the population heard Laurel, while the other, 47%, heard Yanni. Now, those two words couldn't be more different, Yanni and Laurel, and yet the same little clip. And when they made an analysis of this, they realized that it's one of those audio perceptions that, depending on how you play it and so forth, your brain will hear something differently. So that's the very first thing, John, that I would say, is that we need to realize that we will disagree on small things and on larger things because we do see even reality differently, let alone the things that are not completely visible or known to us because we don't have all the data, because we don't have all the facts, because we're looking at it from a different angle. So that's the very first thing that we need to keep in mind.
It's so fascinating. You can't judge what's in somebody's heart until you've walked a mile in their moccasins. And so this whole perspective is very, very interesting. You have a term that you call love busters. Talk to us about what we do in the face of these love busters when we don't feel the love from others or in ourselves for others.
Well, right now we're living in an era of love busters, and I think one of the things that has contributed greatly to it is the Twitterverse. You know, this ability of ours to immediately comment, and within seconds somebody can post something on Twitter, Facebook, any social media, Instagram, you name it, anywhere, and hundreds, thousands of people can immediately respond. And so I think that we have become so adept at having an opinion so quickly and at seeing things in the exact opposite way. And so there's a number of things that contribute, and they become love busters, meaning what I like to call love busters. They create a wound, they create an obstacle, they create a barrier to love because we're so quick to respond. And we should be mindful of that, because there are people who have gone through major episodes of real genocides. For example, I'm thinking of that beautiful story of Immaculée Ilibagiza, the Rwandan American author and speaker who talks in her book Left to Tell, Discovering God Amidst the Rwandan Holocaust. There are people who have gone through some major things as a society, or we in the United States after the Civil War, where we're really dealing with something more than just a tweet or a post. And so we need to recognize that there are a number of things that come against love that degrade another person in our own eyes. That would be a love buster. When I degrade you because you have a different opinion, if you go down a notch, if you get, in my mind, instead of an A, you get a B or a C or a D or an F just because you said this or you said that or you did this or you did that or you refuse to do this or cannot do this, which I believe you should do or should not do. If that would be one love buster, when you degrade another, when you bring them down a notch, when you assume and you attribute, this is the second one, when you assume and you attribute to another a motivation that they may or may not have, and you immediately discard them as if they were trash because they have this opinion or this motivation. That is another love buster. I can't be assuming what is inside you, inside your conscience. I may, from your actions, I can deduce some of your motivations through dialogue. I can learn some of your motivations because you might express them. But we have to be very careful, because that would bust the relationship of love that we need to have.
Martha, you talk about busting the relationship. What about this cancel culture where somebody doesn't agree and they just want to cancel you like you don't even exist? You talk about the ultimate love buster.
Yes, that is one of the things that I really encourage people to do. You have to love people, and you have to go into every encounter that you have, even if it's with a homeless person or someone sitting on a sidewalk somewhere that you might think is homeless. You need to recognize that you are in front of a human being, and every human being has intrinsic value. And every human being has inalienable rights. And so when you come into, or what I like to say, when you come into my circle of love, you already came pre-loved by God. And so I just need to love you back. And that would be, not recognizing that, would become potentially a love buster when you see another person not as someone who is worthy of your love, of your respect, of your interest. And that wouldn't, if you don't see the other person as someone who would motivate you to extend kindness and love and mercy, then there's something wrong with you. And in the case of difficulties, when we have difficulties, because we do have them in marriages and family, parents with children, siblings, friends, coworkers, associates, politically in this society that we're living, we need to be sure to remind ourselves, John, that, disagreements can actually be an opportunity for me to grow, for you to grow. They can be like a boot camp, like a training module, like a graduate level crash course sometimes to teach us and to test us on how well or how poorly we're loving. It's precisely in moments of disagreement and in discord that we can become holier. We can become more Christ-like. A lot of times people think, well, what does it mean to be holy? Because to be more like Christ, who noticed, who paid attention, who, when the blind man was crying out, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, and they wanted him to shut up, he became even more vocal, more loud, and Jesus stopped. Or the woman, the Samaritan woman, Jesus notices, of course, he knows what's happening inside her soul, and he dialogues with her, and he brings her to a place of love and conversion. And if we want to be like Christ, then that is what we need to do in every encounter that we have, to remind ourselves, John is unique. I know a lot of Johns. There's no John like John E. Morales. I know a lot of people. They bear even some of the same DNA, siblings, you know, my own siblings, your siblings. We have the same parents, but we're so different. We need to recognize that people are so different and so precious, and that's what leads us. That recognition is one of the big things that could lead us to recognize that differences don't necessarily need to end up in hatred or in acrimony or animosity or disrespect or in ending a friendship.
It sounds to me, Martha, like we need to will it. We need to choose with our own free will to make a commitment to be a people of love. Can you give us here in the last 90 seconds that we have some practical tips that might be useful in times of disagreement, maybe a little plan of action?
Well, one thing is, I think that more and more these days, from the top down and the bottom up, we are... Some people are playing what I call the frame, name, blame, shame, and defame game. And I'm inviting each of you, don't play it. Don't frame people. Don't name them with some ugly name. Don't blame them for whatever you think is wrong with society or with the relationship. Don't shame other people. And don't defame them. Everybody has a right to a good name. Secondly, recognize again that you're in front of a mystery. Every human being is a mystery to some degree. So welcome the mystery. Thirdly, make sure that in your love, you have made a commitment to yourself and to God that I will love other people. I will respect other people no matter what. And fourthly, pray every day, Lord, teach me to love.
That's it. That's the end game. Lord, teach me to love. Martha, as always, thanks so much for being with us. So much appreciated. Remember, you are love.com and MarthaFernandezSardina.com. Thank you, Martha.
Thank you. And remember, you are loved.
You are loved. We're going to take a short break. When Morning Air returns, you'll hear my conversation with Relevant Radio CEO Father Rocky, who will talk to us about his outstanding book, Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By. Stay with us. There's much more to come on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Talk to a neighbor. Volunteer a favor. Help out a
stranger. 30 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverenz. Good to be with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us. You're listening to Jesu, Joy of Man's Desire. Oh, how I remember that from my wedding day. Today in our nation and throughout the world, traditional marriage is under attack, and more than ever before, we need to have a spiritual insurance policy, some practical advice on how to have a good Catholic marriage. Recently, I spoke to Father Francis Hoffman, Father Rocky, the chairman and CEO of Relevant Radio, about marriage insurance. Father Rocky is a priest of Opus Dei who was ordained by Pope St. John Paul II. He's the author of several books, including Mary at the Crossroads of History and Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By. In fact, this outstanding book, which I highly recommend, Marriage Insurance by Father Rocky, is now available for free at relevantradio.com/marriage. That's relevantradio.com/marriage. There's no shipping or handling charges, but it's only available for a limited time. Listen to my conversation with Father Rocky on Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By.
Hey, good morning, John. It's great to be with you. And hey, compliments to that bumper music you used coming out of break. I think that was Bach's Jesus, Joy of Man's Desiring. Gee, that's absolutely sublime. But I'm glad I have a chance to tell our audience a little bit about this book that I wrote several years ago. And in a sense, it's very similar to my book, Mary at the Crossroads of History. It sort of wrote itself. So I was chaplain at a boys' school in Chicago. I've done youth work, youth ministry for more than 30 years. And because of that, it's not unusual that I have the joy and honor of celebrating wedding masses, and I get to preach at those masses. So over time, I kind of developed a homily in which I would give the young a couple advice about how to have a successful marriage. And most of this is based on my observation of my parents. I observed their wedding and marriage for 40 years until they passed away. So I had 40 years of studying what works and observing what works. Also the marriages of others, relatives, friends, people I know in Opus Dei and such. And I realize there are certain factors which really can predict a strong and faithful and happy marriage. And there's also risk factors that can tear it apart. And the reason, John, this is so important is because as the church goes, so goes the family. And as the family goes, so goes society. So if the stability of marriage breaks down, it leads to all sorts of problems and evils in terms of mental health and physical health and poverty and violence and unemployment and all the rest. All the studies are in, right? So marriage, and when it's stable and healthy, it creates a happier, more productive society. So you know how insurance policies work. If you have something that's very valuable to you, like your house or your life or your car, you don't want to risk losing it, but there's always some risk out there. And in case you lose it, you want to have an insurance package so it can help you recover your house or the income that your spouse might lose if you pass away. That's life insurance. Or your car, right? And if you buy a car, the more valuable it is, the more you have to pay for insurance. Also, the person who drives a car might have certain risk factors. Usually, if you're young and male and you buy a brand new sports car, you're going to have to pay a lot of money for insurance because you're in a risky category. Whereas if you're older and more settled, you won't have to pay as much. So that's how it works. And I tell people, the day you get married, if you pay me $1,000 for marriage insurance, if you ever break up, I'll pay you $1 million back, but you have to follow these 12 rules. How about that?
I love it. And Father Rocky, you know, you were alluding to all the different weddings that you've had over the years with many different couples, and I could never forget your homily from the pulpit of St. Mary the Angels Church here in Chicago on our wedding day, Cindy and myself, when you talked about this marriage insurance. And that was early on. You only had 4 rules to live by at that time. Eventually,
right,
it would grow to 12 rules. The inspiration for this book, it was something that developed over the years. I know your parents had a lot to do with it.
Right. You know, and I listen to people because I've given that homily a number of times. Friends of mine, they once said, you know, Father, you're missing a rule. There's another rule in your book, and that is the spouses should go to bed at the same time. And now I haven't been married, so I didn't immediately understand that. He said, that's when you talk. You both go to bed at the same time. And the couples that I know who are most happily married, they sort of live on the same schedule. You know, they get up at the same time. They go to bed at the same time. They're always together. They're working as a team. They're helping each other. And almost all the rules of my book, John, lead to one thing. And that is communication and being together. Because if you're not together, your heart will find something else to occupy it. It could be things. It could be consumerism. It could be addictive behaviors. It could be another person, right? Because the heart is hungry for love. And if we don't give our heart the love of the spouse, it's going to find something else to love. It can love itself. It can love work. It can love success. It can love all sorts of other pursuits. So a lot of these things are there. So some of the things that I've observed, and I've studied the reports on this, the first two rules are try to choose somebody who has very similar values, right? So this means that you have to be deliberate in your choice of a spouse. It can't just be based on the emotional attraction or the infatuation, like love at first sight. Although that, you know, if you're not attracted to a person, that's not going to work either. But you've got to be attracted to a person. But we also have to have those serious conversations about what are the values we share in common. So I tell people, if you're a serious practicing Catholic, you should find another serious practicing Catholic to marry. If you're, let's say, a lukewarm Catholic, probably best to find another lukewarm Catholic. If you're Muslim, find a Muslim. If you're Jewish, find a Jewish person. You know, and then talk about what are these very important values for you. A second rule to live by is don't live together. Don't cohabitate before marriage, because that is a high risk factor.
A lot of folks aren't listening to that rule these days, Father.
No, it's very common that people live together and they think, well, I've got to practice this. But all the studies are in. There's a high correlation between cohabitation and subsequent divorce. Now, the other challenge that happens today, John, is people simply don't get married, right? So they say the divorce rate is going down. That's true to a certain extent. You have to understand that. And that is the marriage rate is going down. So if you don't have marriages, you're not going to have divorces, right? But the cohabitation, why is that? Well, because if you cohabitate, you don't have to communicate as much and you don't have to sacrifice as much, right? So
no commitment.
Marriage
There's
is
no
all
commitment.
About sacrifice. There's no commitment, right? There's no commitment. So this is huge. And fathers and mothers have a special duty in this regard, you know, to drill this into their children from a young age. Now, you, whoever you might are right now, you might be listening, you might be shocked that I use that word, drill this into your children. But it's exactly what God says to Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 4. I'm aware you can translate it in different ways, but I like the Revised Standard Version, Catholic Edition, translation of the Septuagint Greek Old Testament. Drill the commandments into your children from a young age. What are the expectations? And that's why I think people should start reading this book from a young age, 14, 15 years old. As soon as boys are attracted to girls and girls attracted to boys and they want to date, they have to understand, well, what dating is. It's courtship for a lifelong commitment. It isn't just playing around and amusing myself, which many times we tend to think that was. And I remember in high school, I asked a priest, you know, some very pointed questions about relationships, and it really stopped me in my tracks thinking, okay, what's the point of this relationship? Where's it going? Where is it heading? So we have to be deliberate there. Then a third rule I give there is to follow the church's teaching on sexual morality. Avoid using artificial contraception. That's for a variety of reasons, but a very convincing reason is if the couple is using artificial contraception to avoid children, and there may be a reason that's prudent to avoid children for the moment, a serious reason, but they don't have to communicate, and they depend on technology or chemistry to do their working for them instead of working together, right? So those are three of the rules, and sometimes people don't like to hear those. I know that. I know that sometimes in Catholic marriage classes, people don't want to use the book because I'm so straightforward there, but I always felt I have the duty to tell the truth, and I would tell this always every year to the seniors in my religion class at Northridge Prep, because once they left the school, they're on their own. I said, I want you to hear this before you go out there, and to know what you're getting into. And then we move on to things which I think are more pleasant. All right. So one of those is once you're married, you don't stop courting each other. You don't stop dating. And so go out on a weekly date. I saw that with my parents as a kid. Every Saturday night, they'd dress up and they'd go out to dinner. And the last words they'd say before they left to the kids was, we're going to be back in 3 hours. Don't burn the house down. And I'm thinking, man, you can do a lot and not burn the house down. So those are some of the ideas, and we're going to reissue this book later this year, but I'm glad I can share it already this morning with your audience.
These are great practical tips that Father Rocky has for us. The book, Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By. As we continue our conversation with Father Rocky, we're going to take a quick break. We'll have much more to talk about. We're only about a third way through the 12 rules as we continue with Father Francis Hoffman, the CEO of Relevant Radio. Stay with us. We'll be back after this short timeout. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Love and marriage go together like a horse and carriage. This I tell you, brother, you can't have one without the other.
I love it. 45 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm John Morales. Thanks for joining us as we continue our conversation with Relevant Radio CEO Father Francis Hoffman. Father Rocky, we're talking about his book, Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By. Father Rocky, we've made it through the early part of your rules. Next up is going on a yearly vacation. Now, why is that so important, Father?
Hey, I'll tell you in a second, but you know, when we came in from break, listening to Frank Sinatra, I thought that was you singing. You sound like Frank Sinatra. I thought that was John Morales singing.
I have a few skills, but that's not one of them.
Has anyone ever told you that you sound like Frank Sinatra?
No. Very
yeah,
funny.
I thought, man, John's got a great gig here, you know? So, yeah, yearly vacation. Now, there's the family vacation and there's the spouse vacation. Now, I know this is very hard when you're newly married, you're young, you've got little kids, and life is crazy, all right? But many times when I've counseled couples who are having a very hard time, I ask them, when was the last time they were happy? Or when was the last time they had a vacation just by themselves? Or when was the last time they went out to dinner just by themselves? And many times it's been years. And I said, okay, I understand. You're not investing enough in yourself. And a vacation could be as simple as sending the kids away to your relatives for the weekend, and you've got a weekend just by yourselves, or having your relatives babysit for the kids, and you go somewhere for 3 days. It doesn't have to be expensive, but married couples have to invest in their own relationship. Otherwise, they'll wander. You have to work at it. Just because you make that commitment and you take your vows on your wedding day in the church doesn't mean it's going to stick. You have to work at it every day. So I've seen that before. I also witnessed that in my parents. One thing I picked up over the years, it was really quite phenomenal, was the usefulness of a weekly business meeting. All right, that doesn't sound very romantic. And it could be the husband or wife, maybe they go to a McDonald's on a Saturday morning, get a cup of coffee, and they have their yellow legal pad and a calendar and a pen, and they just communicate with each other about the business of the family and the house and the calendar and the scheduling, so they work together as a team. I learned this from a number of married couples who had been part of a charismatic covenanted community in Akron and Cleveland years ago, 20, 30 years ago. I think they were called the Bread of Life. And I was really impressed by the integrity of these people, their commitment, and I was really amazed at the almost non-existence of divorce among married couples. And this is, you know, in the 80s and 90s when divorce was just skyrocketing. And one of the practices I learned was this weekly business meeting. Husband and wife go off together, maybe on a Saturday morning for a cup of coffee, and they spend an hour talking about the business of the family, planning the calendar, the schedule, the upkeep of the house, the budget, all of this kind of stuff, right?
This
applies in business as well, right? People who work together have to communicate.
Absolutely. I started to say, this is so practical, what you're suggesting. In fact, my wife just reminded me just yesterday, hey, we need to talk about the budget for our upcoming vacation. So
right.
Very, very practical, which leads us to the very next rule to live by in your marriage insurance book. And never say mine. You never say my chair, my chocolate, my bank account. Talk about the importance of that attitude.
Sure. Well, that's, you know, marriage is a vocation to holiness, to sanctity. And I tell people there's no shortcut to heaven. Whether it be celibacy in the priesthood, or you're in a cloistered monastery, or you're a missionary in the third world with no shoes on your feet, or you're in marriage, there's no shortcut, all right? Everybody has to pay the same price, which is identification with Christ. And the four-letter word that you should never use in marriage, and I'm not saying you should use any four-letter word in marriage, is the one that begins with M. It's the four-letter word mine. Once you're married, it's not mine, it's ours. And I think it's helpful at times when people, husband and wife, share an email account. I send emails to many people where it goes to both of them. And I know I'm communicating with both of them. Now, maybe you can't do that with a business account or things like that, but it's just everything's kind of really open. In the same way, I think they should have a mutual checking account and a mutual credit account. You know, everything is ours. And I'm very suspect or cautious about prenuptial agreements. Either you're all in or you're not all in, right? And I suppose there are valid reasons, given certain circumstances and such, about that, you know, that people are marrying for the right reason and not for money. But that's very important. So it's not my time, my life, my side of the garage, my leftovers in the refrigerator. It's not, you know, my chair in front of the television. My whatever it is.
My newspaper.
My newspaper,
yeah.
Right?
Father, you know, as far as the bank account issue, that's an issue for some couples. I've heard of couples that have had separate bank accounts for 20, 30 years, but really the couple becomes one flesh according to Catholic teaching. I think the bank account needs to become one flesh.
Yeah, and you can go, you can make valid cases both ways. You have to take a look at the circumstances. And I have to say, these rules are general. This has not been revealed by God. This is not part of divine revelation or dogma. There are things I've observed before. And here's the thing, John. People listening right now in terms of the marriage, if you just make an effort in one of those areas, it's going to help. So the other tip I give, which is very important for married couples, is pray together every day. At least an Our Father. And I remember... some years ago, I was giving some marriage preparation to a young couple. In fact, I drove by their house the other day, and I stopped, and Mary is expecting yet another child, and her husband had been out of work, and he found another job, and they're making it. I'm really proud of them. I remember when I was preparing them for marriage, I was going through these rules, and I said, pray together every day at least an Our Father. And she looked surprised. She said, at least an hour? I said, no, at least an Our Father. Oh, well, we can do that.
Very funny.
And usually people pray together at dinner time. And that's very important. Just a little thing like that. You know, it's like that mustard seed that we heard about in the gospel yesterday. That's the tiniest of all seeds, but it grows up into be a great, great bush, right?
And if you can, Father, obviously praying the rosary as a family, something that you experienced as a kid.
I did. And, you know, we do the Family Rosary Across America every night on Relevant Radio, 7 p.m. Whenever possible, I try to do it live. Thank God we've got a great engineering team that is able to be flexible to my constant movements. And we can plug into the electric communications, telecommunications grid just about anywhere in the country. And as a kid, we did pray the rosary as a family. I don't recall if it was every night or it was just sometimes in the month of October, sometimes in the month of May, but I had a very clear impression that we did pray the rosary together. And to me, it was a great experience because the whole family was together and we were doing something which we knew was far more important than ourselves. We were together as a family praying to God through the Blessed Mother. And so family prayer is hugely important. I want to invite all of our listeners to participate. If you can, every night at 7 p.m. live, just listen on Relevant Radio, or you can go to our website, relevantradio.com. You can listen to it. You can also watch the video of it, and they do a great job because they put pictures up of the various mysteries of the rosary, religious pictures, so you have that image in your mind. And then we put, during each decade, five pictures of five different families that want us to pray for them. Isn't that great? Everybody praying for families. Families with families, families praying for families, families praying with families. And we're going to continue to promote this. And One of our big intentions right now, John, is for an end to legal abortion in this country. And we see that there's one very important case coming up before the Supreme Court in October. And there may be another one which could overturn Roe versus Wade. For this we pray, because we know unjust laws like that cannot last forever. But we really need a miracle. We need God's grace. We need God's intervention in history. It's not just a question of political action or instruction or media. We need a miracle. And so the key is we got to get lots of kids praying with their families, because kids' prayers are really powerful prayers.
Father Rocky, real briefly, because we're just rolling along but running out of time. I'm going to Mass, going to monthly confession, and then just saying sure. every day to your spouse, I love you. Quick thought on those three final suggestions, your 12 rules
right.
to live
well,
by.
Well, we need to go to Mass anyway every Sunday, but I really emphasize that in the book, Marriage Insurance, 12 Rules to Live By. We need that grace. We need that connection to God. We need to realize that we have a lot to be grateful for. If we're grateful, we're happy. If we're not grateful, we're sad. And sadness is a real enemy. It's an ally of the enemy. That's what St. Jose Maria said. Sadness is an ally of the enemy. It's an ally of the devil. And when we go to Mass, we're happy because we're grateful. So we need Mass. We need monthly confession because we need to stay in the state of grace. And we have to get used to saying, it was my fault and I'm sorry. That's very important in marriage. And then every day, your spouse, make sure you say, I love you. And so those are the pieces of advice I can give. Take it or leave it. Some people take it. They're happy. Some people who leave it, they're not happy. Well, I can't make them take it. All I can do is offer the advice of what I've seen from others. So thanks, John.
Thanks so much, Father Rocky. Father Francis Hoffman, the chairman and CEO of Relevant Radio. I have my copy of Father Rocky's book right here in studio. You can get your copy of Marriage Insurance 12 Rules to Live By for free at relevantradio.com/marriage. There's no shipping or handling charges, but it's only available for a limited time. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Our story today is called Who Packs Your Parachutes? Charles Plum, a U.S. Naval Academy graduate, was a jet fighter pilot in Vietnam. After 75 combat missions, his plane was destroyed by a surface-to-air missile. Plum ejected and parachuted into enemy hands. He was captured and spent 6 years in a communist prison. He survived that ordeal and went on to lecture about lessons learned from that experience. One day when Plum and his wife were sitting in a restaurant, a man at another table came up and said, "You're Plum. You flew jet fighters in Vietnam from the aircraft carrier Kitty Hawk. You were shot down." A surprised Plum asked, "How in the world did you know that?" "I packed your parachute," the man replied. Plum gasped in surprise and gratitude. The man pumped his hand and said, "I guess it worked." Plum assured him, "It sure did. If your chute hadn't worked, I wouldn't be here today." And Plum couldn't sleep that night, thinking about that man. Plum says, "I kept wondering what he might have looked like in a Navy uniform, a Dixie cup hat, a bib in the back, bell-bottom trousers. I wondered how many times I might have passed him on the Kitty Hawk. And I wondered how many times I might have seen him and not even said, 'Good morning, how are you?' or anything, because you see, I was a fighter pilot and he was just a sailor." Plum thought of the many hours the sailor had spent on a long wooden table in the bowels of the ship, carefully weaving the shrouds and folding the silks of each chute, holding in his hands each time the fate of someone he didn't know. Now Plum asks his audience, who's packing your parachutes? Everyone has someone who provides what they need to make it through the day. 1 Corinthians 12:18-20. But as it is, God placed the parts, each one of them, in the body as he intended. If they were all one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are many parts, yet one body.
Thanks again so much, Glenn. And of course, I want to remind you that you can download every episode of Glenn's Story Corner on the Relevant Radio app, as well as every episode of Morning Air. If you have a story idea, just send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. And that'll do it for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn Leverins, producers Gabby Burke, Mariano Gomez, Sarah Tafoya, the entire Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Can you believe August is over. September is next. And so is Patrick Madrid. He's straight ahead. Let your light shine before all. We'll see you tomorrow morning.